a single email unearthed from the sprawling Jeffrey Epstein document dumps has sent shockwaves through anyone paying attention. In 2003, investigative journalist Edward J. Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey, but a longtime chronicler of espionage, cover-ups, and institutional deceit, Edward Epstein reached out directly to Ghislaine Maxwell with the casual yet loaded invitation, "Any interest in joining a proposed shadow commission on 9/11? This wasn't some random outreach. The former Harvard professor was floating the idea of an alternative inquiry into the attacks, one presumably free from the constraints and compromises that plagued the official 9/11 commission.
What diminishes the idea of a conspiracy in my mind is not that one can't think of a good reason why one couldn't put a conspiracy together, but it's the passage of time. One has to take that into their reckoning as we covered, you know, decade after decade."
Maxwell's inclusion on the invite list speaks volumes about the overlapping circles of power, influence, and potential blackmail that Epstein's operation allegedly cultivated. Why would a man known for dissecting government whitewashes think the partner of Jeffrey Epstein belonged on such a panel? The official 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, has long been accused of being a carefully curated exercise in selective truth rather than unvarnished accountability. Glaring omissions like the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7, ignored Saudi connections to the hijackers, eyewitness accounts of bombs by Barry Jennings in World Trade Center 7.
Now, Barry Jennings, you're on the 8th floor, you work for the City Housing Department. Explain to me the moment of impact.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the corporation counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hess. I said, "This is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here."
Entering Building 7 together before the strike on the South Tower at 9:03 a.m., Jennings and Hess were surprised to discover that the office had been abandoned. Receiving a phone call from his superior, Jennings was warned to leave the building immediately. Descending via the stairwell, Jennings and Hess reached the 6th floor before an explosion blew them back up to the 8th floor, trapping them inside the building. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. Instead, NIST spokesman Shyam Sunder insisted that the building had collapsed due to ordinary office fires.
"For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse."
The commission's own co-chairman, Lee H. Hamilton, later admitted significant limitations, including restricted access to classified materials and pressure to produce a unified narrative that avoided rocking too many boats in Washington, D.C.
"If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, and it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking treasonous exposition."
"This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure you ever, this one, you ever get to the bottom of it."
"We have to, or we can't save our country, sir."
"I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, because the problem is it's a 30-year-old conspiracy."
The report's focus on systematic issues conveniently sidestepped naming names like Larry Silverstein.
"I remember getting a call from the fire department commander, telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse."
And the rapid removal of debris before thorough forensic analysis could take place.
"I'm also told that military heavy equipment will be brought in, bulldozers, cranes, things."
All right,
that
folks, that video can be found, as always, at InfoWars.com/band.video. And make sure you're following us on X at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Mark Mitchell on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
I hear people.
All right, folks, this is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. You can follow us on Twitter at Real Alex Jones, where we are always streaming, and we really appreciate you sharing those links and, of course, supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. The only way that we get any support, we have no sponsors, no corporate structure that can tell us what to do, which is why we're able to bring you the truth unfiltered, uncontaminated by anything other than what we think is the truth. If you appreciate that, please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Follow us, share our links, and help us win the info war. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Mark Mitchell. He's the VP and Director of Polling Operations for RasmussenReports.com. That's RasmussenReports.com. You can follow him on X at Honest Pollster. Welcome to the show, sir.
Great to be back. And you know what? Just like you guys, the reason I can be honest is because I don't have to report to a massive corporate structure either. Funny how that works, being independent.
Isn't that nice? And it's no wonder that the powers that be want everybody to be under the yoke of one corporation or government or something. They really hate independent people who are sort of self-supporting, as you are. So tell us the latest from Rasmussen. What are the polls saying? How we doing out there?
Yeah, I just want to preface all this, and it is, you know, the system that attacks people who tell the truth, but it's also people who are sort of like emotionally thinkers, you know, weak-willed, unable to deal with reality, and I deal with reality. I'm not a Republican cheerleader. I'm an independent pollster, and I put out commentary, but it's all based on numbers. So you might disagree with my commentary, but I'm going to show you the numbers too, and you're welcome to make your own assessment. And it's just wild how many people just in the last like week thought that somehow that they could call me a sellout, or they could say I've lost the plot, or they could all of a sudden decide to switch over to a mainstream media pollster in order to like avoid the truth that I'm telling. And the truth is that what Donald Trump did in the last week was like flashing red warning sirens bad for his polling, like very, very, very bad. His job approval rating got down to 41%. And it went back up to 45%. It happened over a course of a couple of days, and it almost exactly lines up with Google search trend volume for the term Epstein, which is now being searched 5, 6, 7 times more than it's ever has in history. The word Epstein was searched more than the 2022 Winter Olympics, the entire period when it was going on. This is not something that Donald Trump's just going to be able to sweep under the rug. It's a cultural touchstone moment. This is the youth zeitgeist. And it's one of the reasons that Trump got elected, a blowback for a system that is broken. Overreach of the Biden administration, the fact that there's a two-tiered system of justice and people like don't think that their betters are held criminally accountable for literally anything. And does everybody think that way? No. Like, there's people really happy today about the jobs report, and they're like, you know what? We're going to win. And it's like, maybe, but I can tell you right now, I don't think you are. So even at a 45% job approval rating, that puts Donald Trump barely like in Joe Biden territory. But the Democrat lead on the generic ballot is up to 6 points right now.
Wow.
And I really think that overestimates a potential Republican turnout. Because we're in a period where people don't necessarily change party as much. I think it's more driven, especially for low propensity voters, on enthusiasm. Right. And if Donald Trump looks like he doesn't understand why he got elected, there's going to be a real enthusiasm problem that might not even show up in my polling. And it all comes back to Epstein, which I'm sorry. like, I'm sorry, the way they're dealing with it now seems a little bit like a betrayal. It just does. And I don't think that they can make it go away.
You use softer words than I do, sir. I think it's absolutely a betrayal, and it's a ridiculous, like, absurd betrayal. It's not even like, oh, wow, they're evil. It's like, what are they even doing? It doesn't even make, you know, at least if you get betrayed and you see Judas walk off with the 30 pieces of silver, you go, okay, he got something from this. But they're betraying us, and they're just screwing themselves in the process. So it makes even less sense than a typical betrayal.
Yeah.
But, you know, we played the clip earlier today. Pam Bondi's asked about why they aren't going after Epstein's co-conspirators, and her response is the Dow's up 40,000 points. And it's like, it's almost the perfect, you know, microcosm of what's wrong with the Trump administration. There's no economic, you know, first of all, the economy is not as good as they say. The stock market's not reflective of our conditions on the ground. So that doesn't even count. But it doesn't matter how good the stock market is if you've got a bunch of pedophile rapists running around controlling the world. So, like, what is wrong with it? Why is that message not getting through to Trump, do you think?
Well, you know, I tried to get that message through. As Alex know, they invited me down to the White House and I talked to them. And also, I was screaming all the way back at the beginning of Epstein. And people might not like really understand the depth of why this is a betrayal. And it all comes down to leadership. Now, you talked about the economy, and we've had this like performative economy where everybody in the past has been able to focus on things like the Dow Jones or the GDP number and feel good that the president's doing a good job. But because we have this late stage capital, global homo kleptocracy, you know, corporatism system that squeezed all of the rent out of the middle class and shipped all the jobs overseas, you increasingly have all of the wealth concentrated at the top in a way where most people don't have stocks. And, you know, people said that this was a like they wanted Trump because of the economy. They say rising prices was their number one issue. But if you look into the polling actually says, well, there's deeper problems. There's a lack fundamentally of trust in the federal government. Only 30% trusted the federal government. Like existential things like the are you better off than you were 4 years ago numbers were the lowest we've ever seen. People don't think today's children will be better off than their future. So they wanted Trump for the economy, but when he said things like retribution and drain the swamp, like I will fight for you, like these are the things that really resonated. They wanted a systematic reformer. And so Donald Trump got in, and I think it's objectively fair to say that we're not seeing somebody that's attacking the system. And when he did Doge was super popular, and his job approval rating was super high with the under 40 voters. He got up to 60%. What is the under 40 approval rating right now as of last Friday? It was 34%. So he went from 60 to 34%, and that's not bad. And it's because he's, again, fundamentally betraying, in my opinion, the like values that he ran on. And so, for instance, if you look at Epstein, somebody could say nobody cares about Epstein. Well, that's wrong. They objectively do. They're searching for it all over the place. But why is Epstein important? Well, because Americans crave fairness, and a two-tiered system of justice is one of the least popular things we've ever polled on. 95% of America thinks it's important that your elected leaders be held to the same standard of account as everybody else. And so this is the most egregious example we ever could have seen that, yes, the system is in many ways profoundly rotten, and, yes, these people will all skate. And the first time I really started screaming, I did it on Alex's show. He gave me like an hour. And we went into the field after Pam Bondi said case closed. And it's like, no, only 16% say the case is closed. 68% of America says there's dozens of powerful and wealthy offenders who need to face justice. And it was a completely bipartisan signal. So if you want to get Democrat and independent votes, you have to understand that like they think that this is what's going on. And you can't like make a magic wand and change these people's mind. Brute forcing public opinion is really, really hard. It takes a lot of effort. And so for them to say, oh, we're moving on, America's like, no, we're not. We haven't dropped this yet. They still think, and maybe there isn't. Maybe magically nothing illegal or evil or demonic happened down there. Maybe that's the case. But then they have to make that case. And we're seeing it over and over and over again. Donald Trump not sounding like he did when he ran. Look at Kash Patel. He's going to shut down the FBI and make the Herbert Hoover Building a museum of the deep state. And then he gets in, and objectively, that did not happen. It's like, okay, well, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. Well, the polling says it's very bad. Trump voters do not trust the FBI. In fact, they trust it even less. And we see this. The polling explains why people see what the FBI did with the Charlie Kirk stuff. They see what the FBI is doing here and the redactions, and they're like, this stinks. It's even worse. Like now the system is being allowed to continue, and the curtain is being rolled back more and more every day. So the temperature of the pot of water that the frog is in continues to increase unabated. And you could say, well, like, Mark, you're not focusing on the right things, and why don't you talk about his jobs number? Okay, we'll see if the job number changes the polling. But this better off question, I think, well, this is our story today. I think it's very important to point out. And it's like, yes, Joe Biden was a bad president. Objectively bad. He did bad things. It was bad for America. Yes. But when America tells you that Donald Trump is a worse president than Biden, that's a referendum on Donald Trump, not on Joe Biden. You could say, well, look at all the things Joe Biden did. But America's looking forward at Donald Trump and Republicans and saying, what does our path look like? And yes, Donald Trump has done very good things. He has done very good things. But we just asked, literally like yesterday, it has been about a year since Donald Trump became president again. Are you better off than you were a year ago? And only 38% say yes. And that's the exact same number that said yes at the end of the Biden administration. Wow. So that number has not gone up. Now, have some of the Republicans gone up and some of the Democrats gone down? Yeah, of course. But the independent number, only 33% say better. 60% say worse. And so independents, who basically Trump won because he won almost half of independents, have completely turned on him, like just absolutely, completely, fundamentally turned. And it's like, oh, well, Republicans have the right value set. Republicans just have to vote harder. Republicans just have to register more people. And it's like, well, no, Donald Trump like got this huge wave of crossover Democrats and independents who are not Republicans. They don't care about the Republican Party. They don't care about traditional conservatism. They just want the system fixed. And it's like the under 40 voter. That's how you go from 60% when you're burning down the government with Doge to 34% when it looks like we're run by satanic cannibal pedophiles. Like that's, right. I mean, it's the most obvious thing on. So like, I try to convey this, like this is, in my opinion, I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. It is about leadership and vision. And he needs to be able to sell to America that by voting Republican in November, that there is a clear path forward that will solve the systematic issues we have. And I said that on November 18th, right to his face. And that involves not talking about the Dow Jones when people don't want to be ruled by satanic pedophiles. Like that's really what it comes down to. And I could just go on and on and on. The polling of this is like, we ask when thinking about the economy, which is the most important aspect that must be improved. And more jobs, 17%, higher stock market, 5%, higher corporate profits, 6%, lower grocery and energy prices, 47%. So people are still just strangled by costs. And he could say egg prices all he wants, but it's like that's not going to fix it. It's, and people don't understand. It's like I can't afford my life. Groceries, like insurance, the cars, everything's more expensive. And when I look at the person that's leading my country and I decide whether I'm going to vote for his party, he's like, listen, we got the egg prices down. That it's just not it's not the sales pitch. The sales pitch needs to be like, look, we understand the problems. Like, look, I'm not part of the problem. And I think in many ways, Donald Trump, subconsciously to a lot of folks, is perceived now increasingly to be part of the problem. Yeah. Because he's trying to sweep this under the rug. And even economically, we just did a poll. Do big businesses have too much or not enough influence in the Trump administration? And people said too much, 50%. Only 10% say big businesses has too little influence. I know Rich Barris has asked the same question about Israel, got very, very, very similar results. And so it's like he promised to fight for America, and Americans need to see that the person that they have to put all their support behind is going to fight the things that matter. And the S&P is not the thing that matters. I just tweeted about it. And I'm glad you brought that clip up. I mean, it literally sounds like let them eat S&P, like Marie right. Antoinette completely
let them
out of touch.
Stocks, yeah.
Yeah, let them eat stonks. That's 100%. Line go up economy, K-shape economy.
Yeah, and there's so many things about this midterms that are that make it ultimately important, right? The fact that if they win, they're going to impeach Trump, and that's going to be it for America, as far as I'm concerned, because, yep. I mean, we've been over that a million times. But then there's the fact that Trump came in with this wave of support, and he had a mandate to do so much, and his failure, the disappointment in the first year is so massive, and he's not doing himself any favors. And it's like, yeah. I wouldn't tell him to be dishonest, but it's almost like, dude, why are you even just pretending to be going after Epstein? Like, it's just politically, wouldn't it be a better move to go, look, I don't want to actually go after Epstein, but I'm going to pretend I am. And it's like, they won't even do that. It's like, what is going on?
I told them to do that on your show. Like, I went on Alex Jones on September 16th or whatever. July 16th. It was right after I had those polls in my hands. And I said, the right way to do this is that you own the FBI. It's $11 billion a year. We have an FBI. It's supposed to, it's the part of the government that investigates things. And America is telling you that the case is not closed. And so if you got the FBI, you got a case that's not closed, like let's just investigate. And if he had done that very cynically, and I hate myself for having recommended that, that was the sweep under the rug. That's what you would do. You just sweep it under the rug. Nobody hears about it. And instead, it's like, here, Democrats, take this. This is something that you're going to bludgeon us with for the next 3 years.
Yeah, and that's why I bring it up, too, because I don't actually want Trump to be lying. I want him to actually be doing stuff. But it just highlights the absurdity of Trump's failure to grapple with this, what should have always been a golden goose for him to make him the hero of the Republic for rounding up the satanic pedophile ring. Instead, it's flipped, and it's just bonkers. When it comes to the midterms, we know that Susie Wiles' plan is to have Trump treat this like a presidential election and get out there on the road, because they understand it's about turnout. It's not about necessarily convincing people to flip parties. It's about convincing your party to actually get off their butts and go vote. It's always the way with midterms. Does Trump even have the poll and the gravitas for that to be a valid strategy at this point? It seems to me like people are just going to be mad at him and yelling things at him and going, get back to D.C. and get to work, dude. We don't need you in Kansas doing a barn burner. What do you think about that strategy for the midterms?
Well, you know, it's harder and harder to predict the future with how loony politics is getting. And I hesitate to try. But what I will say is, like, the upside case is, okay, we don't have any flagrant miscommunication problems or unforced errors. And we get past the Epstein thing, something else happens. Hopefully it's not like a messy regime change, right? And people, maybe they get the messaging together. Now I hear reconciliation's dead, but like they get a few laws passed with reconciliation. And then maybe the economy starts to heat up and we get some headlines about wages going up. Maybe the job market gets hotter. And like, I mean, that's what it would take. And everybody looks around and is like, you know what? Our problems aren't as bad. Things are going in the right direction. And the Republicans did get us here. Maybe there's some wagon circling, and maybe the generic ballot tightens, and maybe, you know, reverses the trend that it's had. And maybe Democrats somehow don't get $3.5 billion funneled into Act Blue between now and the midterms. Like maybe. Lots of maybes. Maybe that's right. The best case, right? The worst case is like there could be, and again, maybe the best case is like we go to war with China and everybody rallies around jingoistic pride, and like maybe that's it. Like, I don't know. But the worst case is there is a possible path where there is very brutal blowback for, you know, because that's the one thing. People stuck with Donald Trump through literally everything. I mean, they Teflon Don and a lot of stuff, and people stuck with him and said, no, he's ultimately got my best. He's not perfect, but he's got my best interests at heart. And so that aspect of like a core betrayal of the base. And I don't know, looking at the country right now, we haven't polled on Epstein yet. Again, we're going to do it in the next couple of days. Like, what, how are people, they're consuming a lot of this content, and what are they going to focus on? And what are the lightning rods that get stuck up? And that's the issue, is that there's going to be these symbolic moments that just drive how public opinion plays out between now and then. And one of them could be Trump being heckled at a rally about Epstein because of something that just continues to persist that they can't force away. They need an Epstein strategy. I know that sounds like horrifying, cynical political strategist talk, but they need an Epstein strategy, like clearly, in order to get to November. And like the rallies, it's just high risk. And here's the thing too. It's like, is it high reward? Because the rallies like drew people in because they were like, people liked the optics of the rallies. They were good. They were rebuilding a movement to save America. And you were getting a lot of like normies, independents, maybe some like blue collar, some union workers to show up. And are they going to want to go to those rallies just to hear Trump talk about the GDP and the S&P? Like, the union workers, you know, like, Republicans got unions for the first time. And so it's like, well, we need to focus on making those people happy in this new big tent. And instead it's like, oh, what we want to be perceived as success already so that we can tell people the job is done, mission accomplished. And the mission accomplished didn't work out very well for Bush. So no, like, I don't even know. You look at George W. Bush numbers and they were horrifying at the end, but George W. Bush still had like a whole lot of Christian conservatives that just liked him and stuck with him through a lot of stuff. But I just don't know. Like, yeah, maybe it's,
you know, you got all these maybes, all these potentials, like maybe this happens, maybe this. And it's like, I hear this giant list of potentials that are going to be hard to get any one of them, let alone all of them. And then it's like, or you could just like arrest Lex Wexner. It's like one of these, you can either go for the impossible combination of all these miracles, or you can just like arrest the bad guys. It seems like a simple solution to me. I mean, do you think
would that
make a big difference?
We literally just saw this moment. So Minnesota, in my opinion, was such a political gift because Doge was so popular, and then the Republicans got rid of Doge. They really just kind of got rid of it, and it was the biggest mistake they probably ever made. And then all of a sudden, it's forced into the news again, right? And so America fundamentally still wants all the illegals gone by a pretty strong majority. It's like 30 points, net points more popular than Trump is. But then there's been increased, you know, blowback about the ICE tactics. 47% of plurality say ICE is too harsh. Only, you know, in the 30s say not harsh enough. And so it's like, well, they're telling you they don't like the way it's panning out, but they still want it fundamentally. And we flooded Minnesota with ICE and made it even worse by giving them an opportunity to have all these optics with the protests, which is not like we don't want red meat here. We want resolving the core problems with America and increasing tension in a way that makes ICE look like the bad guy is bad. And so what did Trump do there? He sort of lost the plot that fundamentally Americans still want what he promised, which is less illegal aliens. And he immediately sort of like caved and started talking about soft amnesty and started like, you know, he sounded like a billionaire oligarch on this. Oh, well, just going to, and you know, a strategy decision must have been made behind the scenes because across the board, they started using the phrase criminal aliens. And this is the same movement that made fun of people for using undocumented immigrants, right? Like right. It's corporate newspeak. It's like it's 1984 stuff. Well, now we're using 1984 tactics to defend low wages for workers for the party that just got unions for the first time. Like, and so obviously the answer out of this is raid the frickin' businesses. It's not hard. The polling is off the charts popular. Raiding businesses is like 40 points more popular than Trump is. E-Verify is like 60 or 70 points more popular than Trump is. And the Republicans were just given all this low-hanging fruit. Pass the SAVE Act, voter ID, like raid business, like E-Verify. Like we have an E-Verify system. We could just use it. Like,
right.
No,
it is all so utterly insane. And it just seems like they're either not getting the polls or they just don't care. I can't wrap my mind around it because people like yourself, Rasmussen Reports, I mean, you are giving them the roadmap to success and they just refuse to follow it. So, I don't know how you lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I think you're dead on about everything. I think you have the right mindset. We got to focus on reality here, not the fantasy that they're trying to push forward because nobody's buying it. Thank you so much for being here with us. We could go on and on. I know you're a busy man. Mark Mitchell, you can follow him at Honest Pollster on X and RasmussenReports.com. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir.
Thank you, Harrison. Thanks.
Appreciate My pleasure. All right, stay tuned, folks. We'll be back after a short commercial break for the final segment of the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder, that I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Final segment here. I got a lot of videos to play you and still a lot of stories to cover. But we've had a lot of guests today, and I'm bad about plugging when we have guests because I feel bad making them sit there. So I'm going to make up for that here, and I hope you can help me by going to thealexjonesstore.com, which, by the way, we have so many great products there, and you should be telling your friends about them. You know, every once in a while, I'll be talking to somebody that I know pretty well, but they'll say something like, you ever heard of this Jeff Epstein guy? And I have to give him a look of like, don't you know who I am? Don't you know where I work? Like, what do you mean, do I know Jeffrey Epstein? Like, what do you want to know about him? I know everything. It's crazy. Well, today, we have a family group chat, and one of my sisters asks my other sister, hey, where do you get your creatine? I'm like, guys, what? Where do you get your creatine? You get it from thealexjonesstore.com, obviously, /Harrison, to let them know who sent you. That's where you get your creatine. It's the best on the market. It's the only one available. People don't know. They don't even know. We have the ultimate creatine powder and creatine gummies as well. They're sitting there going, are the gummies good? I don't know. I'm like, of course the gummies are good. Guys, thealexjonesstore.com is where you get the best creatine. It's where you get the best turmeric. It's where you get the best methylene blue. It's where you get the best of everything. You don't need to ask. You don't need to wonder. You don't need to shop around. We've done that for you. We have found the best source of all of these supplements. We bring them to you in the highest possible concentration with the best bioavailable absorption on the market, whether it's creatine or the Shilajit or the Irish sea moss or any of it. It's all the best of the best. And it's super, super cheap, especially if you take advantage of some of our sales. Like right now, we have a sale for 50% off any supplement that you put on a subscription. So if you take creatine regularly, then, you know, schedule your monthly delivery of creatine that you would get anyway. Only this time you get it for 50% off. And even if we sell out for other people, you still get yours delivered. So it's just an absolutely amazing way to save massive amounts of money on products that you're probably buying anyway. And if you're not, you probably should. So make sure to go today to thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's the creatine, the Shilajit gummies, the Irish sea moss, the turmeric, the bodies, or not the bodies, but the atomic defense is an incredible one. The blue tallow is a fantastic skincare product. It doesn't turn you blue, but it has the power of ultramethylene blue and the beef tallow combined. It's really incredible stuff. The beef tallow, of course, is best on the market. We've got everything you could possibly need for your supplementation regime at thealexjonesstore.com, and we have it for 50% off when you sign up for the deliveries, and you can cancel at any point if you don't want it this month, or didn't take as many last month, so you want to hold it over. You can pause it, cancel it, restart it again later. But if you go now and you sign up for a subscription for any of our products, you get it for 50% off. And we guarantee that you have one even if we sell out otherwise. In addition to that, you can get our bundles. We have two limited time bundles going on right now, the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, as well as the Modern World Survival Stack. So in the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, you're getting Ultramethylene Blue, Ultramethylene Red, and Bovine Colostrum Plus all together for a combined 50% off. With the Modern World Survival Stack, you're getting the Shilajit Complex, the sea moss capsules, and the Atomic Defense all together for an additional 50% off. So these are two powerful bundles, both of them 50% off. And right now it's 50% off all subscriptions for products. And of course, you're going to want to sign up for the VIP club, the Alex Jones VIP club. You get access to additional sales, you get free shipping, you get access to the lost tapes, which are the Alex Jones shows from 2001 to 2008 that are not available anywhere else online, but you get access to them if you sign up for a VIP member. And that's all just on top of the fact that the VIP membership costs you $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy anything from the alexjonesstore.com, you should probably be a VIP member. It's just 10 bucks off your order, which is probably already 50% off anyway. Massive sales, incredible products, and best of all, you support this outlet and everything that we do as we continue to be the tip of the spear and lead the charge against the globalists who are being exposed more than they ever have been, thanks in no small part to your participation and support at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And tell your sisters, tell your brothers. They're out there buying low-quality creatine from some scam artist. They could be getting the top-quality stuff from us for probably even cheaper. Friends don't let friends shop on Amazon, okay? You got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. And with that, we've got a lot of videos to go to. I want to go to a video I mentioned earlier, but again, our guests are so good. They're just on fire. I'm like, I'm not going to interrupt Mike Lindell when he's on a roll like this, but I did want to show this because it goes into what he was talking about, what we've all been talking about, the scams, the scam artistry that is tearing this country apart from the inside. Josh Hawley at Hawley M.O., Senator Josh Hawley, says that we lose about $1 trillion in scam, being scammed out of our tax money every single year. $1 trillion. We human beings almost can't even fathom how much money that is. But let's go to this video. This is Josh Hawley talking about just the sheer madness of the unrelenting scams bankrupting us at full speed. Let's watch.
Where is this money going? I mean, we know where some of it's going in Minnesota. It went overseas. It went to Somalia. It went to NGO fronts. We know where it's gone in some other states. California gave away billions of dollars to a pro-Hamas NGO. But $1 trillion nationally, where's this money going to?
I appreciate that question because most people don't ask that question. It goes to terrorism, It goes to child trafficking. It goes to drugs. It goes to terrorism. And then it's used to purchase luxury items, cars, purses, homes. That's all funded by people like me that pay taxes.
So it's you're telling me that the electrician who goes to work every day and clocks in and works his butt off and tries to earn just enough to be able to, you know, make his rent, maybe have a kid or two, put food on the table, his tax money is being used to buy other people luxury items, cars, yachts, whatever else, and is going to fund terrorism and child trafficking?
Yes, sir.
$1 trillion a year on this stuff?
$115 million an hour.
$115 million an hour. How do they get their hands on it? What are we talking about here? Transnational organizations, criminal networks? How do they get their hands on this money?
They take advantage of antiquated government systems and processes. They go into programs that they know elected and appointed officials won't touch, and they can steal at scale. And what happened really was during the pandemic, between the PPP loans and the unemployment insurance, they learned a really valuable lesson. Government never runs out of money, and the probability of getting caught is virtually zero. I have it at 0.1%.
So come back to the recommendations that you mentioned in your opening statement. What do we need to do to put a stop to this hemorrhaging of people's hard-earned money going overseas to finance child trafficking and luxury yachts? I mean, what needs to happen here?
It's really simple. It's used every single day in the commercial sector. Front-end identity verification, you just don't get to say, I am who I say I am. Second, recertification of all the recipients. There is so much fraud right now in the benefit programs all across the country. We need to get a baseline. Third, this notion of a third-party independent audit. And finally, is involving federal law enforcement, like the Secret Service, to investigate it. The thing that people don't understand is that most of these beneficiaries, Senator, they're not real. They're fake. They're someone's stolen identity that is getting used in all 50 states.
You almost just have to laugh. $1 trillion a year? $1 trillion a year. I'd say, because I've done the comparison before, because you hear these big numbers and you hear them so much, it just sort of becomes nothing, right? It's just static noise. And it started when, you know, we heard that George Soros had donated $18 billion to basically destroy America from the inside out. And I remember just thinking, like, what does that even mean? What is $18 billion? What could you get with that? I didn't even have AI at the time. I was doing it, you know, doing the calculations by hand. But it's like you can buy every castle in Europe that's for sale, thousands of them. You can buy every private island in the world. You can buy stadiums and, you know, sports franchises and space programs. And it's like you're still not even halfway to $14, $18 billion. Now multiply that by, what would it be, 100? Trillion is 1,000 billions? It's like, what? Can you even fathom what is being stolen from us? When you hear $1 trillion stolen, doesn't really connect with anything in your brain. How about they've stolen 1 million high schools, 10,000 top-of-the-line hospitals, 1 billion libraries? Like, you have no idea what our country could be like if we weren't being robbed relentlessly. And let's remember, we're just talking about the fraud. That's not even accounting for the infinite amount of money that we pay for welfare, which shouldn't be going to the people it's going to, for the infinite amount of foreign aid that's going to just kill Russians on the other side of the world or try to take down Iran for whatever reason the demons decide. I mean, how much of our wealth is just siphoned away? And then you think about all the NGOs that are funded by the government. They're not really NGOs. They're GOs, actually. It's just we don't have any oversight over them. It's worse than being a part of it. They're funded by the government. They just don't have to abide by the same rules of the government. It's the worst of both worlds. But they're, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry in this country. And then you think about all the people that are employed directly by the government or subsidiaries of the government or contractors with the government. And again, you get down to like, okay, what is it, 4% of our entire population is actually engaged in for-profit endeavors? What is the number? It can't be more than like, I mean, I think 25% is way too high, considering all of the money that goes into, I mean, you talk about education, government-funded, you talk about, I mean, it's all government-funded. So, like, who's actually making the money? Who's actually producing the prosperity? It's like less than 10% of America is somehow funding everybody else endlessly. And this can get so much worse, by the way. If you look at the numbers of South Africa, it's beyond ridiculous. It's like literally 5% of people pay the taxes for everybody else, and 80% of the people are completely dependent on the government. It can get crazy, folks. Like, when you really set up the systems of exploitation, you can take a very small number of prosperous, hardworking people, and you can fund just infinite laziness. It's really wild. And that doesn't even count for the $1 trillion of fraud. That's just an additional expense on top of it. I think we should burn the whole thing down. I'm really thinking, I think we need to burn the whole thing down at this point. You get to a certain point with legacy systems where you go, no, we're not reforming this, actually. I think we need to scrape it all, which is sort of what Trump was talking about doing at one point. I'm not sure where it ever went, but the idea was that, like, the fraud was so bad with welfare that just they were kicking everybody off and everybody had to reapply. That'd be a great way to do it. Just go, you know what? We're cutting it all off. Nobody's getting a check. Now you can come and reapply and you can bring your ID and we can confirm who you are. But it seems like something like that is the only way for this to work, because right now the spigot is running endlessly and we just got to cut it off. There's no like piecemeal solution to this. It's got to be a holistic decapitation of the fraud regime. Now, I've got some breaking news here minutes ago. I'm very annoyed at the news I'm about to bring to you. As we've been talking about throughout this entire program with all of our guests, the SAVE Act is of the utmost importance. It is hugely popular with the vast majority of Americans, Democrat and Republican. Democrats support the SAVE Act, or what it implies, that you have to have an ID to vote. Something like 75% of Democrats support it. Something like 85 to 90% of Republicans support it. And yet it has just failed. It has just failed on the House floor. The Save America Act mandating voter ID passed. Oh, wait a second. I'm wrong. It did pass. I read it wrong. Okay. Whew. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, this literally broke like 30 seconds ago. So I misread it, and I was really mad at Thomas Massie. I still kind of am. But it looks like it passed the House. Okay, I misread it. I'm still mad at Thomas Massie, though. The Save America Act mandating voter ID passed the House. Good. 216 to 215 with Thomas Massie voting against securing elections. He's the only Republican that voted against securing elections. It's like, dude, what? Why? Why can we not? Okay, whatever. It's fine. It passed. It passed. Okay, that's good. It passed. I thought for sure when I first read it, it said that it didn't pass because Thomas Massie voted against it, but it passed despite Thomas Massie voting against it, which it's just like, why would you not vote for that? What? I'm like defending Thomas Massie against claims of Trump derangement syndrome earlier, but then he goes and votes against the SAVE Act, and it's like, what the hell is going on here? How can we not just have people that are good on everything? It's very weird. Thomas Massie's the only Republican pushing for the Epstein files. He's one of the only Republicans speaking out against war in Iran or any of this other stuff. And yet he votes against the SAVE Act. Okay. All right. I guess that's what you're going to do. All right. So that's good. All right. It's better news than I thought. But we'll see how it fares in the Senate. And again, it just is the height of absurdity that it's even up for debate whether this passes, that every single Democrat voted against something that 75% of their constituents do want to happen. Explain that to me. They're demons? That's right. That's right. Doesn't need to be explained. We already know that they are, in fact, demons. Now, I got a lot of other big news to get into, including, so I really, you know, I didn't think this was going to happen. I got to be honest with you. I thought they were smarter than this. We covered yesterday the religious freedom, religious liberty committee that the Trump administration put together, and that it kind of kind of knocked off the rails by the participation of somebody who was not willing to concede that criticism of the nation state of Israel was in fact anti-Semitism. It's a Catholic woman named Carrie Prejean Bowler, and she didn't say anything offensive. She didn't say anything anti-Semitic. Now, she got treated to a lot of vicious, hateful remarks from the likes of Laura Loomer, who were denigrating not just Carrie, but the entire Catholic faith, being like, why don't you go cry about it in your little box, in your little confessional box? It's like, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, but you didn't hear anything from Carrie like that. Carrie wasn't going and, you know, sitting at the White House Religious Liberty Committee going, you and your little tiny hats and your stupid wall. It's like, no, you had none of that. She very politely and very respectfully asked, is anti-Zionism anti-Semitism? If I am a Catholic and have a spiritual conviction that the modern nation state of Israel has nothing to do with the blessing of Israel that God gave to Abraham, if I can say in my, you know, religious belief Zionism is not good and not of God and actually against his plan, does that make me a hater of Jews? Does that make me a anti-Semite that needs to be silenced? And she asked that question in a more polite way than I just did. And she basically was hounded about it and criticized about it endlessly. And she has now been kicked off of the committee, according to Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor of Texas. I'm sad to say, Carrie Prejean Bowler has been removed from President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission. He says no member of the commission has the right to hijack a hearing for their own personal and political agenda on any issue. It's not what she did. This is clearly without question what happened Monday in our hearing on anti-Semitism in America. This was my decision. That's absolutely not what happened. It was a question of about religious liberty, and the greatest threat to religious liberty in America today is the Zionist lobby attempting to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism and to ban anti-Semitism and to write laws against anti-Semitism. I don't know how many times this has to be, but this should really be Civics 101. The First Amendment has five freedoms. The first of those five freedoms is the freedom of religion, and the freedom of religion contains within it both the right to worship your God as you see fit and also to criticize, mock, denigrate, hate other religions. Obviously, if the Catholic Church runs a country and is the state religion of a country, you know, they might force you to go to church. They might force you to worship in a Catholic method, but that's usually not what they're going to do. What they're going to do is just punish anybody criticizing it. They're going to hurt anybody that tries to stand up against Catholicism or tries to preach something in opposition to Catholicism. But typically, like, freedom of religion isn't violated by somebody forcing you to be Christian or forcing you to be Catholic. It's almost always a matter of you're allowed to criticize this power structure. You're allowed to speak out against religious beliefs of a certain sort. That's why we have the First Amendment. Not to only protect Jews being Jews and worshiping in a Jewish fashion. That's part of it. The other part is everybody else gets to say, this is stupid and bad and wrong, and I have religious convictions that are completely different than that, and I refuse to adhere to theirs. That's freedom of religion, obviously. Obviously. Ridiculous. Dan Patrick continues, the commission has done outstanding work through five hearings. Two more are scheduled. The testimony has been both illuminating and heartbreaking. Under the Biden administration, Americans of all faiths had their religious liberty not only stolen from them, but were often punished for standing up for their faith in education, the military, the private sector, and even the ministry. This spring, the commission will deliver one of the most important reports in American history directly to the president. The president respects all faiths. He believes all Americans have a right to receive the great inheritance given to them by our founding fathers in the First Amendment. I'm grateful for President Trump for having the vision and boldness to create this commission, fighting for the word of God. Religious freedom is what this nation was founded upon. Leading this fight will be one of his greatest legacies. But they've just kicked a woman off of the Religious Liberty Committee for her religious convictions. I think I might need to say that again. They just kicked Carrie Prejean Bowler off of the Religious Liberty Committee because of her religious convictions. I mean, what are we doing here? What exactly? I'll tell you what we're doing here. We're setting up a delusion, an illusion, a giant game of you know, puppetry of manipulation in which criminalizing anti-Semitism is being put forward as freedom of religion. That they're saying that unless criticism of the Jewish people, the Jewish state, the Jewish power structure, Jeffrey Epstein and his Jewish friends, like if you don't crush that and shut that down, then therefore you're violating the rights of Jews. That is literally the opposite of what the First Amendment says. And what you're doing by trying to make anti-Semitism illegal is in fact setting up blasphemy laws for a state religion, which I think every single kindergartner at this point knows is in violation of the First Amendment. Obviously, you don't have a state religion, except we kind of do at this point, except kind of in a de facto way. We actually do have a state religion. It's Judaism. So religious liberty be damned, I guess. I didn't think they would actually do that. Because you would think that with all of the outrage against the Jewish censorship that's going on top of the fact they're trying to get us into a war with Iran, on top of the fact that Jeffrey Epstein and all of his friends are calling all non-Jews goys and eating them, you would think that they'd have enough intelligence in this group to say, hey, it's not a great look if we expel the one person actually standing up for religious liberty on the religious liberty panel. But apparently they're so confident or deluded that they think this is a good idea. It's not. And I'll tell you, I was having a conversation with a noted, very prominent Jewish figure online yesterday, texting me about something. And I said, look, dude, I'm genuinely concerned about how y'all are handling this. Like, I'm genuinely concerned about having Shabbos Kestenbaum on the Religious Liberty Commission so he can sit up there and claim that, you know, no children in Palestine ever died and that you should arrest people for anti-Semitism. It's like, you understand what you're doing. You understand how this appears to the rest of us, right? This is a bad idea. So my advice, if you want to stop anti-Semitism, I actually have a solution for you. It's actually pretty great. Here's what you do. Use all that power and all that influence and support America and Americans. You hear that? Yeah. Tell you what, instead of paying people $7,000 for tweets that argue in favor of Israel, how about $7,000 for tweets that support the U.S. Constitution or something? It's like, everybody would love it. Everybody'd be in favor of that. You just got to stop trying to destroy the First Amendment and then playing the victim when you do it. It's actually not that hard. And this is sincere advice because I want to see us come together and defeat the evil people, not tear each other down endlessly. That's going to do for us. I think Rob Dew is hosting the War Room, so stay tuned for that. Very big show coming up, and then I'll be back with you on Friday.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.